Everybody, Research Steering Committee met on October 11th. We have a number of issues to go through, or not issues, items to go through here today. Everything is located behind tab 8 in your binder. There are 9 documents there. We'll be working principally from the meeting summary document, which is number 1 in your pile. We also have, in the way of background information, the CRPP staff presentation concerning research set-asides that was given to the committee on October 11th, a letter to Dr. Nancy Thompson concerning council research priorities for 2007, a draft groundfish skate scallop PDT council research priorities provided for the RSC discussion on 2008 research priorities, a list of scallop RSA-funded projects 2000 to 2006, a list of CRPP-funded projects for the same period, a list of final reports sent to the Council from the Cooperative Research Partners Program and the Northeast Consortium, a memorandum of understanding on the Gulf of Maine Ocean Data Partnership, and lastly, the NOAA Information Quality Act guidelines. So a little bit of light reading there for you all tonight when you want to lay your heads on your pillows. We'll start right off, try and bring everybody up to date on what has happened. We received a briefing from Dr. John Hoey on how cooperative research monies were spent this year. Most of the existing cooperative research programs were funded, although the CRPP did not issue a broad agency announcement in 07 as it has done in previous years, because of budget constraints. At the Council's request, efforts were expended on preparing the cod and yellowtail flounder industry-based survey data for use in the upcoming GARM. That's ongoing. And lastly, the study fleet and cod tagging projects were funded along with the Maine inshore groundfish monitoring and NEMAP surveys and a contract to support the Marine Resource Education Program. So I guess I'll start right there if anybody has any questions on those. Okay, great. Next, we went on to the research set-aside programs. In the way of background, based on PDT advice, the Council Species Committee's currently set research set-aside priorities. The Research Steering Committee generally reviews these priorities, and the Council provides final approval. To date, this includes the scallop, monkfish, and herring committees. However, it should be noted that research set-asides are under consideration in both groundfish and skate. And after a discussion, the Research Steering Committee recommended the Council, continue this process of setting their RSAs for the research set-aside programs. And then we had a further discussion, and this included the document references number 2, was presented by the CRPP staff, on research priority developments. The list of priorities represent all or most of the this document's presented. It's a PowerPoint presentation. It's in your document tab 2. You can look at it. There's a number of innovative ideas here. We might be looking for comment from council members, whether they like the ideas or don't like them. We didn't take action on them at this time. We wanted to think about them, and they do require potentially some shifts in how we do things at the moment. So we'll probably discuss them more at our next meeting. On to the research set-aside research priorities. Again, we had a lot of discussion about these, this issue of immediate management needs versus long-term needs versus so-called pure research and development type research, the need for some kind of a filtration process where basically large lists of research priorities are put on the table, almost like a laundry list of everything we'd like to know about everything. And a need to winnow this down and look at how we fund things in terms of immediate needs, immediate being recognizing it will probably take at least 3 years to get the results, more long-term needs, which would be, say, 5 to 10 years, and then more research and development needs, which is so-called pure research, which may not have any potential applicable management goals in the near term. And then we moved on to discussing the solicitation cycle. And it's currently on a one-year basis for some plans, 2 years for others, 3 years for others. And we had a discussion, and I can't make motions on behalf of the committee because it's not a committee of the council. But I will make a motion, and it can be seconded, and then we can have a discussion on it. And that motion would be that the Research Steering Committee recommends that the council adopt at least 2 year cycles for any new research set aside programs that are developed by the council.
Seconded by Dave Preble. Make sure it gets on the board, Dave, and then
yep,
we can have a discussion. Okay, it's on the board. Dave, did you want to provide more rationale or background?
Just that this seemed to be a practical consideration more than anything else, that a lot of projects don't get off the ground in a year, first of all, and second of all, some of them take longer than a year to do. And, you know, we debated 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. 3 years we felt was too long. 2 years seemed to be about the right number, but it would require a change in policy for some of the FMPs.
It's currently 1 year in a lot of FMPs, is that right? Pat?
Currently, Monkfish is the only plan now that's on a one-year cycle. And I actually talked to Phil about getting it in this framework adjustment, and only it was way too late and not the appropriate time, obviously. So you might want to consider it in the next action. Scallops was just voted on as a two-year cycle, and Herring is already on a three-year cycle. However, the reason that we took this up at this point in time was because the council is contemplating research tax set-asides, research set-asides in skates and possibly in groundfish. So we recommend it because of the administrative burden and because results don't come in a year. No one finishes. By the time you get an experimental, you get the grant award, you get an experimental fishery permit if needed, and you get results back. You don't get them for 2 years. So the awards will come up again. Somebody will submit either an extension or another project, and you have no clue as to what has happened with the initial project that was funded. It gets to be a very unmanageable situation.
Council members? Paul Howard.
So, Pat, does it then make projects are two-year projects automatically and not 1 year, and or does it mean that to ease the administrative burden that we won't review projects, but every 2 years we'll look at new projects? We're not going to look at them. What does this mean?
Projects don't necessarily have to be a two-year projects. They still could submit for a one-year project, but the solicitation would be issued every 2 years. And you could possibly have two-year projects. It would make it a more manageable situation all the way around, so you could do multi-year.
Dr. Pierce.
Paul, that's my question.
Anyone else on the council? Anyone in the audience? Ron Smallwitz.
Ron Smallwitz, Kunameset Farm. As one that's always asking for extensions, I would think that this is a good idea. But I do have a question. Usually my research is the lowest priority. In the RSA process, you have to ask where you're getting your pounds from. And, for example, in Framework 19, we have the first year, we have certain areas that open up. Second year, other areas open up. What's the plan for in allocating the poundage? I could see the lower priority person on a totem pole being given poundage from year two, you know, elephant trunk area or something, when I want to start the work in the first year. How are you going to manage the pounds?
I don't know, is the short answer. I have no idea. However, The National Fisheries Service just, and along with the council, just approved the two-year cycle on the 25th of October. I suspect they have put some greater thought into it than we have otherwise, other than making the broad recommendation. So I think offline we should talk to Pete Christopher and perhaps Deidre to see how that will be managed, because it's a good point. But I know they did go to a two-year cycle. So there's got to be a way administratively to handle that.
Yeah, that, I mean, figuring out a nice, easy way to do that would be make the whole thing go very smooth. And one of the things I've argued time and time again is a research thing has to be dealt with differently than commercial. And it would be nice to just put the research tack for the 2 years together and just use it as a common pool and not worry about that second commercial fishing year. Or else it's going to be a lot of projects won't start until the second year. They'll have the same problem as a one-year cycle.
Thanks, Ron. Anyone else? Back to the council. Anything further from the council? Ready for the question. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Mm-hmm. Opposed? Abstentions? One abstention. The motion carries 13-0. One abstention. Dave?
Okay. The next thing we moved on to was a review of the research set-aside proposals and the final project reviews. The process varies across FMPs and is, I guess you'd say, uneven. Some have a somewhat of a defined process. Some are ad hoc because this is the first year it's been done. Anyway, we would like to make an attempt to standardize this across the various research set-asides, and basically draw in the people with the most experience in dealing with these particular issues, which would be, in this case, people from the staff of the council, people from the committee, the oversight committees, people from the CRPP or the Northeast Consortium, basically, you know, drawing together a group of experts in the field, for example, for scallops, and having them review proposals before the projects are awarded, and then at the other end, a similar idea where a group of people would be convened and they would review the final projects to make sure that we got the deliverables we had hoped for. So, again, with that in mind, I have another motion to offer, and that is that the Research Steering Committee recommends a process for reviewing research set-aside proposals as well as final project reports. Reviews will be conducted by a panel of individuals who are members of groups already in place and associated with the Council's Species Committees. These include members of the relevant oversight committees, the plan development teams, and advisory panels, as well as council staff and regional office plan coordinators and any necessary outside experts.
Seconded by Dave Preble. Dave, how is it done right now? What changes does this make?
Well, it varies across committees. There is a lot of them don't have a process right now because they haven't received any final reports yet, as an example. I believe, generally speaking, the consortium reviews its projects. The CRPP provides a technical review for its projects. I don't believe there's a mechanism in place for the research set-asides to actually provide that. I think it's done through the Science Center at some level and through the regional office. This would be just to kind of codify who would be involved in this and to try and draw in, you know, kind of a wide range of people that are involved in the process, but just a sample of them instead of all the species committee, say two people be designated to go to each one of these meetings, and they would, represent the oversight committee. Basically, to try and get a coherent group of people that can provide a review that we can work with, as well as review the proposals when they first come out to make sure that we have people with expertise necessary to judge the qualifications of these proposals, whether they're worth funding or not.
The panel that's referenced in the motion, will that be facilitated by the council staff? I mean, who's going to put the panel together and when do we decide that we've put together a broad enough range of participants to do the reviewing of the proposals and the final projects so that we can go forward? I mean, do we need to have at least one member from each body mentioned, or?
I think when you have a request for proposals go out for research set aside, you'd have to convene a body to review those. And then when projects come in, maybe once a year, maybe once every other year, when you have final reports, you again convene a body to spend a day reviewing those final reports. It may be the same body. It may have different members. I would assume that would be coordinated by the staff.
Pat.
Right now, the responsibility for proposal review rests with the Cooperative Research Partners program, and they scurry around and try and find people, and the council staff always steps up to the plate, and they have been participating. But as far as finding a range of people with some expertise, it's been very difficult to get those proposals reviewed. It's not anybody's favorite task, let's face it. But I think to connect managers a little bit more closely and or PDTs and advisory panels, fishermen have been complaining for years that they're completely cut out of the loop, to get a range of people, and if the solicitation only goes out every other year, this would occur. I mean, I would recommend doing final projects, you know, when they come in, but group them together, probably once a year for proposal reviews every other year and once a year for final projects. Right now, just to add to that, is it's a catch-as-catch-can for proposal review, but final research set-aside projects get zero review. They come into the center, and they are given a technical review there. They're short on time as well, and then they go into a drawer unless there's a very pressing need in the management program. Otherwise, they go into the drawer, and maybe some year they'll be used and maybe they won't. And we are allocating thousands of pounds and millions of dollars worth of set-aside projects and no real review, formal review process where we can look at the utility of them and what we've actually done. And this was a fishery management plan that created these programs. So what we're trying to do is create a little bit more of a connection to management by having people participate on these panels, but not always having the same individuals burdened with proposal and or project review, to spread around the responsibility.
Thanks, Pat. Sounds like that drawer is going to fill up pretty quick. We don't put something in place to get something out of the RSA process. Paul Howard.
And it seems like it's pretty vogue that we started in scallops with the research set aside. Now it seems like every plan wants to put in a research set aside. And as you can see, our PDTs are straight out. The Science Center is straight out. We've got so many things going on that these set aside programs are, you know, an awful lot of work and an awful lot of time to do it right. And I'm just wondering, before we commit resources, if we need some type of a evaluation of how we've done. And, you know, with skates, do we really want to have research set-asides for skates? Maybe we do, but you have to weigh the research we're getting. Is it valuable research versus all the time and commitment to have a process to review dozens of proposals? And so maybe the council might want to recommend some type of, you know, evaluation of the research set-asides that have gone on. I'm pretty sure I know that scallop research has been very valuable, but the other type of research set-asides, have we really gotten good products out of them, and is it worth the effort to do this?
Dave Preble, then Dr. Pierce.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Paul's points are well taken. The next motion after this addresses that question. We have, unfortunately, got a tremendous amount of variability in the quality of both the proposals and the output, the final reports. And at this point, the Research Steering Committee is really not able to keep up with the volume of that sort of thing and do any meaningful evaluation of where these things fit, both in the priority sense and in the quality sense. And there seems to be a logjam here that somehow has to be broken up. And I think what you're asking goes along with the next motion, and I'd like to say more about that at that time.
Dr. Pierce.
Just to point out that Paul's right on target with regard to our evaluating how useful the existing research set-asides have been, and I would suggest in that context that you talk to Dan Furlong. I mean, they've had research set-asides for a long time now on Scupsy, Bass, and Fluke. My understanding is they've been wisely used to fund survey work, the Monkfish survey. I forget which ones have been funded but with the research set-asides, but yeah, maybe we could, after finding out how they have used their research set-asides and how well they have worked, we might want to consider similar approaches for how they deal with a research set-aside, because I believe they do have a couple of unique procedures that they follow that I think has paid dividends, especially for the industry and better information for stock assessments.
Anyone else on the council? David.
Yeah, one of the reasons we spent a lot of time on this is this idea of complying with the law. That's why we included the Information Quality Act guidelines and making sure that this information comes to the council in a usable form. And we think this is the best way to make sure, with these various bodies represented in the review process, both at the front end and at the back end, that the council will get as the highest chance of getting useful information for management. And that is our goal.
Pat?
With all due respect to the Mid-Atlantic Council, hi, Jim. they are looking at our processes to follow for review of final projects and so forth. In fact, they are basing we have a research review policy in here, and they are, and Dennis Spitzbergen is leading the charge, I believe, on that. And so they are looking to us instead of the other way around, which is great. But the other thing is, when we're looking at, let's keep in mind what we're doing when we're reviewing the tax set-asides. The scallop tax set-aside has been in place since 2000, but Monkfish and Herring are brand spanking new. In fact, Herring just had its first solicitation this year. I think we'd like to review those overall, but I hope we can get some mechanism in place, because we have projects that have been languishing for a long time. And to kind of get a process going, we can certainly modify it, but to get a process going to at least look at the utility of projects that we've already gotten, and there have been numbers of them in scallops and some in Monkfish, I think would be hugely valuable to the plan development teams in particular. Some of them might serve on this committee, but hopefully not or panels, but hopefully to not a burdensome degree. So I just wanted to say that scallops is really the one that you might want to start with and take a look at and review to see what kind of bang you're getting for the buck. But the other ones are brand new. So Monkfish has been in place for 2 years, and I don't think we've gotten a final project in yet. I think maybe one, maybe two. So I suggest we start with scallops.
Anyone else on the council? The audience? Back to the council. Ready for the question? You're all set, Dennis? Okay. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Dave?
Okay. The next issue is relatively small, and hopefully it could be a consensus of the council, maybe with a letter to Pat, that the RSC urges the regional administrator to revise current policy by considering issuing exempted fishing permits on a 2 or 3 year basis instead of on a single year basis. Again, with the idea that most of these projects don't get completed within the year that the permit's issued, and then they got to go back and reapply for it. And again, we're trying to streamline the process and make this simple. So this isn't, I would hope this wouldn't have to be a motion, but it could maybe be done by consensus.
Pat, why don't you step in before we go through the whole process?
Thanks. There isn't a policy right now to issue them on an annual basis. They're issued based on the length of the project, the length of the grant, and so if there were situations, in fact, where it was a multiple-year project that was awarded, and the analysis, the EA that supports the EFP was done for more than 1 year, then there'd be no reason why an EFP couldn't be issued for more than 1 year, too. So there's no policy. It's just that typically these are one-year awards. And so if somehow we're able to change it so that there are multiple-year awards, then certainly the EFPs could follow suit.
So it would be, again, I'm asking on behalf of the committee now, there did seem to be some confusion that some people thought that they were only issued for a year. If somebody puts in an EA that covers more than a year, you could issue one under current guidelines for more than a year? So this is a moot question?
I don't know exactly what the conversation was, but the answer to the question you asked is yes. If you know, we can do them for more than a year.
Okay, well, I think there's a perception out there that they can't be done for more than that, so we can clarify that just by having had this discussion today, so we don't need to go any further there. Next, in keeping with the committee's research steering role, suggestion was made that we serve as a coordinator or a clearinghouse by reviewing the final recommendations on the RSA review panels and finalized by the CRPP staff and forwarded to the NOAA Grants Office. In other words, basically we could review the reviews and deal with any of the issues that were outstanding for management and hopefully achieve economies of scale here. And to that I have another motion, which is in keeping with its research steering role, the Research Steering Committee will serve as a clearinghouse by reviewing the final recommendations of the research set-aside review panels, both for research set-aside proposals and final projects, before the review panel's recommendations are finalized by the CRPP staff.
There's a second, seconded by Dave Preble. Dave or Dave, any further comment on the motion?
Well, I think it speaks for itself that a lot of times these reviews raise outstanding issues, and in order for us as the council to use them under the Information Quality Act, we have to address those issues. Either they can be used for management, they can't be used for management, or part of the project can be used for management. So this would be to basically codify that and get that formal process done so that the oversight committee or the plan development team or whoever is using the information will know exactly what of it is usable on a management basis.
Dave Preble.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the year that I've been involved with this committee, I found that for a number of reasons the process is particularly cumbersome, and at this point it needs to be streamlined. Not enough is getting done because of the cumbersome nature of the process. The reports that come in, first of all, we have to the Research Steering Committee has to steer research, and it's not doing enough of that right now. We need to streamline it. We need to come up with a format for both the submissions and for the final reports. Sometimes we'll have five or six reports that are on something like, for instance, gear efficiency research, selectivity, and no two of the reports have followed the same format. It becomes very cumbersome to read them. The other thing is that the quality of them is incredibly variable. Some of these research proposals have errors in grammar and syntax, errors in word usage. They don't even start with a hypothesis. And now this is, I'm not saying all of them are like this, but there are enough of them that are like this that it really slows down the process. We need to streamline this. We need to have a set format that on a proposal. Many of them come in without even a hypothesis. And for a research proposal, there isn't even a hypothesis in it. This has got to change. We've got to have a set format for it, and we've also got to be able to review these things for quality. And unfortunately, we haven't had time to do that, and this motion would go a long way towards helping the committee to streamline the process.
Thank you. Anyone else on the council? Pat.
So David Pierce's eyebrows go up, so I'm trying to anticipate his question, but maybe I'm misspeaking, but we'll see. in case you're wondering why we are having the other review panels, why would we have the PDTs and the committee people and the advisory panel review, and then it again goes through the research steering committee. The reason that the research steering committee would look at the final decisions is not, and we can certainly schedule that because we know those when those reviews are going to take place well in advance, is simply to do a value-added thing, not to second-guess, not to add, subtract, or divide, or split hairs, but to take a broader overview. Has this project been done before? The Research Steering Committee has been meeting for 9 years now. They have a good idea of what's been done in cooperative research, what other institutions are funding similar research. Should there, we've seen 9,000 of this particular kind of research, should we then hold a workshop so that there can be some synthesis of that research? It's that kind of thing that they can take a step back and say, this is perhaps what we ought to do, but also to keep the Research Steering Committee in the loop so that they know what's going on overall, but not to hold up, second guess, or try and tweak decisions that are made by other people. I don't think we need to do that. In fact, that's what we're trying to kind of corral a little bit so it's done in a little bit more organized fashion. But to really do a value-added kind of thing and perhaps provide additional advice.
Anyone else in the council? Anyone in the audience? Two hands.
Bill DePaul, Virginia Institute of Marine Science, and also a member of the Scarlet PDT. I've had the opportunity to participate on quite a few RSAs, and I would like to tell the council that they're very valuable and really should encourage the process to make sure that the RSAs and the other research in support of the fisheries be continued. With regard to this specific question, one of the difficulties we have is the timeliness that this review takes. The RFP comes out, it gets reviewed, it stays somewhere, and we're ready to go do our research in May, and we haven't heard what the result of our proposals are. Because once we get the proposals approved, we have to get the permits. So whatever, how many reviews you want to do is fine, but I think you have to really be sensitive to the time involved from the RFP to the time that the research has to be done. I mean, we were sitting on a boat in New Bedford wanting to do a survey of closed area 2, and we hadn't had permits yet. And so we take a chance on that simply because the work had to be done in May. So timeliness is important. The other thing I would like to say while I'm here, when we submit a proposal, if there's a question in the review process or if there is possibility for a negotiation, we never get any feedback from the review process saying, look, well, maybe you've asked for too many pounds, or maybe we're not sure what you mean here. We just seem to get an approval or a rejection, and there doesn't seem to be any back and forth feedback. And I think that would be very valuable in the review process to the researchers, because one, it would make a better project, and two, it may streamline the process a little easier. The other thing I would like to do is just say whether these RSAs have been valuable. In my case, for the Scallop RSAs, I just made a quick count. They're responsible for 2 PhD students and 4 master's students that have been completed or in the process of completing. So the RSAs are very, very valuable in giving, and we put our money into our student education and putting that money into graduate student education, which is extremely valuable, and at least one of them now is working for the National Marine Fisheries Service. And at this point, I'd also like to thank Pat and her staff for getting me through some of the sticky issues with NEPA, Section 7, issues with sea turtles, and a whole bunch of other things that just seemed daunting at the time. And some of her staff did an exceptional job in making sure that I didn't stumble in doing something wrong and that the permits were right. And her staff deserves a lot of credit for making sure that these RSAs go forward. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Ron?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just trying to figure out what this does here. Is this a line or a staff function? It seems to me right now the council just approved the process, which I think we've been using in the scallop RSAs, on how to review the proposals and choose the proposals. And then usually the regional office staff does a good job on the details where you have to respond back on very specific questions. And they correct my spelling errors and what have you. What I'm trying to figure out now is the council would have to hold a research steering committee meeting and set a date, and then what are they going to do with the proposals?
The research steering committee would take a look at the proposals that were selected by the panel, just to look at consistency, repetition, you know, quality proposal, whatever it is, because, as I said, they've been looking at them for 9 years. We've lost sight of what's going on in scallops in as part of the research steering responsibility to steer research. I don't even know what's going on with the scallop research set asides, whether you're duplicating, whether you're not duplicating, whether there are economies of scale again. And it would be, I think, very easy to schedule a meeting because you know in the RFP when the proposals are due. There, you can back count and then figure out when the proposals, the review panel is going to meet, and then you can schedule the research steering committee. So I don't think you need to waste any time at all. But in order to look at all aspects of research that go on with the council, this would give the research steering committee a link. And as I said, not to split hairs or second guess, but to add comments the way we do with any other proposal review. Good, bad, you know, fine, support them all, or perhaps even change the review process. There are all sorts of things that have never been looked at in the scallop review process because it's always been a catch-as-catch-can thing where you're struggling to find reviewers and so forth, and this institutionalizes it and gives the committees and the council's other groups a little bit more of a connection with the set-aside.
Okay, with that explanation, I personally think that the scallop RSA process works pretty good, except for my proposals that don't get accepted. But they're reviewed. And I would see that this is an important function, but not a line function. In other words, if the research steering committee wants to see what's going on in the scallop RSA process, they should basically hold a research steering committee to review the scallop RSA process and have presentations by the three or four researchers that have been doing the research to bring them up to speed. This is just another level of review, and if they have some questions about a proposal, I see it slows down a proposal, it sends it back, and usually what happens is you end up with two different sides, and this is on a proposal that's already been reviewed. I just do not see this as a necessary component of a review process. If there are some recommendations regarding how proposals should be written or how proposals should be reviewed, that's a staff function. The research steering committee could take that up and make recommendations that would be adopted by the council and hopefully NIMS. But this, to me, as another step that really is unclear, is just going to really bog down the process without adding any value. I just do not support this at all.
Who else in the audience? Back to the council. Is this a redundant review, or is this truly going to add value to the product, the end product?
I don't think it's a redundant review. I don't think at the proposal level it's probably going to have much effect. It's more at the final project level that we're really concerned with. That we want to make sure that you know, if there are issues, outstanding issues, that they are addressed before it makes its way into management, and that's That's the overarching part here. I think the review on the front end is more to make sure we don't have seven projects essentially addressing the same question. I would hope that the review panel would flag that as an issue, but you just never know. It's happened in the past where people in different funding cycles and different organizations end up essentially studying the same question, and we feel that's a duplication of effort and basically a waste of money.
Who else on the council? Ready for the question? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Thirteen in favor. Opposed? Three opposed. 13-3. Abstentions? No abstentions. Motion carries 13-3. Dave?
Okay. Next, we had a discussion of 2008 research priorities. We had received a number of lists from the various PDTs and oversight committees. And basically what we decided to do is the lists are quite long. Some of them have 20 or 25 items on them. They're like laundry lists. Everything I wanted to know about species X, but didn't have the money to ask. So what we decided to do is to have the committee at its next meeting pick out on an individual basis, committee member basis, a project from each or a management question from each species list, and basically try and come up with a prioritized list that is truly priorities, two or three major items. In addition, we'd also like to address these from the point of view of issues that can be done through cooperative research and those that may lend themselves to having to be done through, university-level work or state work or the science center. In other words, non-cooperative type projects, questions that could be asked of people in various organizations that would not lend themselves to cooperative research. So basically, again, the idea of prioritizing the questions we have to ask and making sure the list is really, reflective of what we need to get done. And as part of that, it would be we would develop a short-term list, which would probably be questions that could be answered within 2 to 3 years, a longer-term list that may be out there 5 to 10 years, recognizing that the time between announcing a solicitation and receiving a final report is currently running 3 to 5 years. So that's in the way of a report. I take any questions on that. There's no motions associated with it.
Paul Howard.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Dave, this is in response to the council's new requirement for a 5-year prioritized research plan.
It was partially to that question, but it was more initially to this idea of really answering the questions we needed answered in the short and the long term. But we can do it however you, if that's a requirement that you would like to see instituted, certainly we will do that.
Let me just read our requirements so the council can give you some direction. Develop in conjunction with our SSC a multi-year research priorities for fisheries interactions, habitats, and other areas of research that are necessary for management purposes. Our 5-year plan shall establish priorities for 5-year periods, be updated as necessary, be submitted to the Secretary and the Regional Science Centers and the National Marine Fisheries Service for their consideration in developing research priorities and budgets for the region and the Council. So, I think this is very important. We're getting our SSC up and running by the first of the year. So if you can package this, if the council directs you to package it, this as a 5-year plan that can be submitted and maybe meet in conjunction with our SSC, it would be a good idea to meet that requirement.
That actually jives quite nicely with what we were going to do. So, Pat will have that language and forward it to the rest of the committee, and they can, again, be thinking about this prioritization based on meeting that guideline that they puts it quite specifically, so that shouldn't be a problem. After that, we kind of conducted an autopsy of our review process. Now that we've reviewed a number of projects. You've seen, you know, basically my reports for the last year have been 4, 5, 6 projects that final reviews and management reviews have been performed on. And when we started on this process, we really didn't have any idea of how it was all going to turn out because it hadn't really been done that much before. But now that we've had a chance to look back on it, we, you know, have noted some certain things that kind of leapt out at us. First of all, we agreed that the review process overall has been stronger than we had anticipated, that the reviews we receive have been, by and large, quite good, and that that's made our life, by and large, a little simpler, that we can get down to the business of providing the management review, which is our job. But there has been some unevenness, and we had actually I didn't know Nancy was going to be here today, but again, I don't think we have to send a letter since she's here. That in the case of the research set aside and CRPP funded projects, the Science Center does have the responsibility for the technical reviews, and that some of the technical reviews have been less than satisfactory. And it's not that the individual reviewer didn't do a good job. A lot of times it's the fact that there has only been one individual reviewer. And generally speaking, in technical reviews, they'd like to see three people review the project. So it's a concern. It would certainly make our life simpler if we received at least three complete technical reviews. And so we would just note that as one of the things that's come out of the process to date. So there's no questions on that or anything. Again, we'll move on. We also received some comments from some reviewers, not reviewers, excuse me, people who have put in projects for final reviews that they would like to see some guidelines and you know, they want to meet our objectives. But the objectives have been kind of a moving target. And to that end, the CRPP staff has agreed to provide, I don't want to describe it right, but this, without getting into this whole thing of grants and contracts and all that stuff, that there's specific language that goes into specific funding mechanisms, and they will provide the language to indicate to principal investigators what will be required of them in a final report. And we'll be waiting to see that meet our language at our next meeting. Almost done. Then we went on to the issue of sharing the use of data collected through federally funded research projects. Again, we were provided with this memorandum of understanding used by the Gulf of Maine Ocean Data Partnership as a possible template. We didn't ultimately endorse that particular template, but did agree that, again, this has to be made clear to all principal investigators, and the CRPP staff has agreed to, again, go back and research the language that needs to go into the contracts and the grants to make sure that it's explicitly clear that if you take any federal funding for a project, that all the data from that project, both that gathered through the federal funding portion and the non-federal funding portion, has to be provided in a usable format. Again, this is part of this Information Quality Act. If we're going to use it in management, we have to have the raw data so that we can make sure we can explain ourselves if we end up going to court or something. There's... In your summary of the meeting, there's quite a long list of standard elements and whatnot. I'm not going to read them all into the record. You can read them yourself. But, again, the idea was that we will provide language to principal investigators in the future to make sure that they explicitly understand that if you take the federal dollar, you have to provide the raw data in return, and it has to be provided before the contract is closed out. And... I think that concludes my report, unless Pat has something that I missed. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Dave. As usual, you get through a lot of information pretty quick, so thank you. Not bad. Okay, we're going to move right into 345 agenda item behind tab number one, operations handbook.